Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Ruth, and I'm here live at the Medford High School in Medford, Mass. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a compulsive overeater, food addict. Hi, everyone. And thanks. And great to hear even what I've heard so far, just talking about tools and stuff. And somebody sharing on sponsorship reminded me of when I first came in. I first came into this program in 1979. And it was the Gracie community. And I remember being confused about everything, as you said. I mean, for all the thinking I had ever done about foods and diets and food plans, and I, at the age of 29, I felt like I had been through it all. But I hadn't actually. But anyway, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't understand this program at all. Like, what? And I had a sponsor who was seemed always angry. I thought she didn't like me. But maybe that was part of being strict, or I don't know, but whatever, it worked. It got me abstinent for a while. And I remember one of the first things I was confused about was, don't eat no matter what. No matter what, don't eat. And I'm like, what do they mean? Because you've got to eat eventually. So I had to ask about that. And my sponsor's like, well, of course, you eat three meals and that's it. And I'm like, well, what if you're full before you finish? Should you stop? Like, is that better? She's like, no, keep eating it. Okay, you know, and she would just give me like the bare minimum, like, okay. And I guess she scared me enough to just sort of stay, you know, stay tuned. Mm-hmm. And I do remember, you know, it's interesting because back in the day, back in those days, anybody could get up and share and there was no abstinence requirement. And I remember one woman I had been hearing a couple of times and I thought, wow, she's fabulous. She's great. And then she got up and said, well, I ate last night. I feel terrible. And I'm like, so then I thought, oh, I guess you can eat now and then. I truly did. And except then I heard her another time soon after saying, oh, you know, I can't get back kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, you don't eat them. Now I get why we did, you know, you don't share until 90 days in this in the 90-day program anyway, you know. That's the main thing I know about 90 days. You don't share until you have 90 days of abstinence. And it makes some sense. Just so as, just to have a clearer message. My pictures are going around here in the room. And my pictures actually don't tell a big story because I didn't have a huge amount of weight. My highest weight was about 50 pounds more than I am now. And I wasn't even always at that weight because I was always dieting. So I was probably more like a 20-pound swing with weight. And I lost weight very quickly when I first came in. And I probably got too thin and then had to put some weight back on. And, you know, recently I've had a swing just in my own body for some reason, lost weight without trying. And then without trying, it came back on. And it's like, okay, I just have to accept that this is what my body in my elder years is doing. I'm not obese. I'm in a normal-sized body. I'm fine, and I'm abstinent. And, you know, I have to look at the scale and see that I'm weighing, measuring my same food every day. And I am. Anyway, but for that first time, just to speed through, I stayed in program for 9 years, and then I left. Because I thought, not that I was cured, but I thought I could have done enough of this weighing and measuring. I can figure this out. I see this. I have the scale. I can, you know, why can't I eat a little bit of this like everybody else? And maybe when I go to a restaurant and blah, blah, blah. And so I tried that actually for 7 years. And my story maybe isn't typical because my life didn't, things didn't fall apart per se. I didn't gain a ton of weight, but I went back to the craziness of the yo-yo dieting. I went back to craziness after 9 years of abstinence. So after 7 years of that, I came back. And now I've been abstinent in this 90, I guess, well, we started calling it the 90-day program a couple of decades ago. But anyway, I've now been abstinent for 30 years, one day at a time. And so, as I said, my diet, I was a binger and a starver. I don't think I ever went into a restaurant and ordered like a meal, like a thing with normal things that people eat for lunch. Mm-hmm. I was always like, no, just salad for me, none of that. No, can't have that. So I never ate those things. And I wasn't meaning to be secretive, like I don't want them to see me eat it, but that was what happened, because I would leave and it'd be like, oh, here's this that I randomly found that was my roommate's or something like that, and I'll eat the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, well, I could have just had a polite slice of that earlier like everybody else was doing. Why didn't I just do that? And that was the question, like, why can't I do that? And, you know, that's still the $64 million question. I cannot do that. At least today I really know that. I don't have to, like, beat my head against the wall trying to be like, why can't I do that? It looks so sensible. That's who I want to be. But it's like, I'm not. There's something kind of crazy about being a compulsive overeater. And once I put a bite in my mouth that's not committed, weighed, and measured, that's not what I planned on, you know, it sort of goes out the window. And I can see how the craziness starts in the head before it starts in the body. And the body itself, it's like when I was eating that way, I would be frightened sometimes of how much I could eat. I'm like, I can't believe my body is not going to explode like any minute. But then I would keep eating. And then, you know, then I might stop and be like, oh, 20 minutes later, there's a little smidgen of room. I can eat more. Like, oh, my God. And yet the next day I could get up and, you know, skip two meals. And that's how I kept my weight under some kind of control. But it was really no fun, no way to live. Every week it was some new plan, you know, whatever you see at the checkout counter of a drugstore, like, I'll buy this diet, or I heard about this. So then the diet pills, speed, you know, I was, it was easy to get drugs on the street and just get, you know, and I would always think, oh my God, this is amazing. Like the first time I took some speed, I'm like, this is great. I can't eat. I don't even want to eat. But then by the nighttime or a couple of days of that, you'd be like, I can't sleep. I should take something else to calm me down, smoke some grass, whatever I was doing back in the day. And then that would, of course, undo all that. And then I would eat. And then I'd be like, oh, well, I didn't eat that much. I just ate as much as what I had eaten dinner today. And I would start trying to categorize and rationalize, like, well, this is how much. Or I would start to write it down in one of my calorie books. Like, counting calories in a binge is kind of like, you know, rowing in a, you know, hurricane. You just can't do it. You can't keep up with how much you're eating. You don't want to think about how much you've eaten. And I'd finally say, okay, well, I ate like 9,000 calories. So I would sort of say that, and then say, all right, 9,000 calories, so that means I have to eat this many less for the next 10 days, and then I will have undone that. And, of course, that would never happen because I would binge again before I got to the day that I was broke even. And you just can't do that to your body. Your body doesn't get it. You know, the body of an addict just doesn't get it. And so I was constantly coming up with these little schemes that sounded evidently reasonable to me at the time, but then it'd be like, what was I even thinking? Of course I can't do that. And then I'd get into, or people would say, well, I don't know why you're always on a diet. You always look the same. I'm like, well, that's the thing. I don't ever lose the weight I want to lose. Or they'll say, you don't look that bad. And I'd be like, okay, I guess I don't look that bad. Or I'd look at somebody else who was maybe a little heavier. I'm like, well, look what she's eating. I guess I can eat what she's eating. Why not? But, you know, I just can't do that. It just didn't work. And again, cunning, baffling, and powerful, because I would always end up like, what? How did I do this again? When I left the program the first time, and I guess it was 1987-8, I was pregnant with my first child, and then I had another child, and I kind of gained, so I was eating, started eating during that pregnancy, which is a terrible time to start eating because, you know, most women go through some body craziness over their pregnant bodies anyway, and so then I had that plus, you know, eating again after so long, but I kept it controlled, you know, and I kept it controlled all through those years with on and off. And actually, as the story goes, and it's true, my daughter, who just turned 35, when she was little, she was 4 years old, and I was eating, I was binging, and she said to me, "Mommy, you're eating all the food in the house." And I would never have done that in front of even my older child or my husband, but I was doing it in front of her, and I felt so ashamed. Like, how did I, you know, like I was committing a crime in front of her. Like, this is embarrassing. And it didn't immediately get me back to meetings, but it soon got me back to meetings. So that little four-year-old is now 35, and I'm still abstinent, which is amazing, you know. And she expects me to be abstinent. In fact, she was living with us in this past year, not anymore. But, you know, she would see me weigh and measure, and we ate a lot of the same things, but mine weighed and measured. And that was a blessing, actually, to have her. So I guess then coming back, you know, I was not in the Gracie community when I came back. I came back into what we now call the 90-day community, I guess. And so, but I still weigh and measure 3 meals a day. I don't eat flour and sugar. And I got into the steps, first in AWOLs, which are not OA meetings. AWOLs are closed studies of the step of the 12 steps, which is really important to understand. I remember when I first was breaking it to my mother that I wouldn't be eating these certain ethnic foods that had carbs in them or whatever, she'd say, you know, she was like, "Why are you doing this diet?" I'm like, "Well, Mom, it has the religious component. God is in it." She said, "Well, what does God have to do with food?" And I'm like, "I don't actually know what God has to do with food." And, you know, it took a while to get why God, I mean, I never objected particularly to God and the steps and all this, but it took a while to get, like, what does this have to do with it, you know? And doing that for a while and, you know, enjoying the process of that. Then about 8 years ago, gosh, 9 years ago, I was already abstinent for over 20 years, but I had been hearing about the Big Book step study process, and I didn't know what that was. I thought it was just the Big Book discussion meeting, or maybe it was another name for it. I don't know. I just didn't know, and I started asking around, and I heard it's indeed a different process. And a very specific way of working the steps. So I began doing that. So I, and that was amazing. That really has been a game changer for me in truly understanding the steps and how they work in my life and how they work together to make it all make sense. You know, I study other, you know, I'm involved with other religions too. I dabble in a lot of that stuff, and it all the great truths seem to even out to the same thing in the end. And you know, the steps are always amazing to me in their simplicity and the Big Book, which, you know, I used to read. In fact, I used to read the chapter where it goes through how to do the columns of the fourth step and the inventory, and I thought, this is so silly. It's written like Dick and Jane, like, my boss is mad at me because of this, or I'm mad at my wife because of that. I'm like, that's dumb. But now I see the profound message underneath it all, and the many layers of truth that are always being revealed. How's my time?
No, actually, my clock stopped. Doing the time.
It's like 5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, that's all we got.
Thank you. I'm ready to start wrapping up, but, you know, so today it's, you know, my life, I don't live to eat, but I eat to live. I love my food, but, you know, my food isn't the only thing in my life. I plan it out every day. Thank you. I plan it out. I plan my day, you know, like, where is it going to go? You know, different days. I don't keep to a rigid schedule, but I keep to a rough schedule, certainly, of meal spacing and see where things are going to go on which day and how I'm going to fit things in. I am mostly retired now. That was interesting because right after I got abstinent in 1995, I started a new job, and it was amazing to work at that place for 15 plus years and never use the machine, you know, never use the snack machine. My kids were little, and I kept change in my drawer, and they would come running in, and they knew how to use the snack machine, and that was fine, but it wasn't for me. And to think, these people, all my coworkers here never saw me do this. You know, I never stole their food. I never snuck into the staff room to see what was around. And believe me, I mean, everybody knows most workplaces are minefields of things. You never know what you're going to find that's out there or not out there, but you can steal it because you find it somewhere. You know, I did all that. You know, it's something we all make amends for in different ways probably in our steps, but and yet it's the most natural thing to do. Of course we steal food. We see it, we need it, we eat it, you know. Other people don't care, other people forget. Okay, thank you, and getting my warning. So today my program is 3 meetings a week at least, mostly on Zoom. Having a sponsor who I connect with daily, sponsoring others, having other people in program that are part of my life and that we share different things about, you know, how you get through a day. I mean, I guess other people get through the same days, but we see different things. We've learned to look for the little miracles or what are the hardships or, oh, my God, this made me so mad. And it's like, do I go tell that person off or do I do a turnaround and kind of figure out what got me so mad? What triggered me so much? Because that's life. That's life. You know, in our literature, you know, today it's like, don't expect life to be easy. That's how it is. It's okay. You get what you need every day, but it's not going to be easy, okay? So if you're new, and you're confused, that's okay, because it is confusing, and you say, who are these people? Because I definitely thought they were crazy. In fact, people at meetings early on would say, oh, my head is so crazy, and I'd be like, oh, I don't know who they are. I have a problem with food, but I'm not crazy. But over time, I'm like, I am crazy. I get to see the hidden meaning of it. It's not like a psychiatric mental disorder, but it's crazy in a certain kind of addict way that you get to recognize. Like, I see my crazy. But if this is all confusing to you, just keep going to meetings. That's what we say. Go to 6 different meetings and see what you hear. Don't make a snap decision that you'll never come back. And it works. It's tough in the beginning, but it gets easier. You know, that's the thing. All the diets that I would choose in the checkout line every week, those are all seemed easy in the beginning. Like, oh, this is fun. This isn't bad. You can eat this. You can eat that. But then they were unsustainable. But this program was very hard in the beginning and gets easier as you go along, which is, you know, to me a much better deal because the long run is what I need. The maintenance is what I need. So I guess that's all. I hope this was helpful to somebody.